This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
The reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death."
Well, I still like to be beside the seaside. I'm living now in Conleague. We're a little bit closer than we were on Park Road in Belfast. Our two dogs certainly do enjoy it, particularly our golden retriever Meg, who just loves in the water. So throwing a ball into the water, she could live in Helen's Bay and be happy for the rest of her life. So yeah, I do like to be beside the seaside, but if you listen carefully to the reading, you will notice that in the opening verses it said, when there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and there will be no more sea. But then we do know this, that we will see all things clearly. Before lockdown, we had a community lunch every Thursday in Cook. And a very interesting man from Pakistan came in. He was studying for a doctorate in child psychology. His name was Mohammed. And he came to our community lunch because he lived just round the corner in North Parade. And after coming for a week or two, I plucked up the courage to ask him why he was coming. And he told me he came from Pakistan. And in the street where he lived, there was this little Presbyterian church. And he said he couldn't understand why they did what they did. And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, being in a Muslim country, being a Christian in a Muslim country is really, really hard and difficult. And this little group of Christians had it really hard. They were often beaten up as they arrived for church, but they always still came. Their church was burnt down, and they rebuilt it. They gave food to anyone who came and asked. They prepared meals for the whole community, and even those people whom he knew were probably responsible for burning the place down came and got food from them. And he said to himself, whenever I get to Belfast, I'm going to find a Presbyterian church and I'm going to find out what all this is about. I was absolutely amazed. And so for a few weeks he came and we had lunch together and I gave him a Bible. Not a fancy one, but one that just looked like an ordinary sort of book. And then the day came when he was about to go back, finishing his course. He hadn't become a Christian by then, but something was changing in that man's life. He began to see things differently. But the thing that got me was, it was this little group of persecuted Christians who were responsible for all of this. It wasn't anything to do with me. They were the catalyst for this change because even in the midst of the persecution and the suffering that they were going through, the love of Jesus Christ shone through. After he had gone away, another man who lived around the corner, a young fellow, came in for lunch. And as we sat and chatted, he told me he was an atheist and he didn't believe in God. And he says, "You believe in a fairy tale." He still kept coming for lunch because he quite enjoyed it. But he told me he kept believing in a fairy tale. And I tried to convince him as best I could that I didn't. But it got to a hiatus one day and I said to him, "Look, can I put it like this? If you're right and there is no God and there is nothing after we die, then I won't know I've been wrong. But even if I was wrong, the way Jesus commands and wants me to live and the example that he set has meant that following him has been just a wonderful experience. But if I am wrong, I won't know I'm wrong." I said, "But if you're wrong, you will know you're wrong." He didn't come back for lunch after that, unfortunately. What I want to talk to you really about this morning is this passage in Revelations that says, "And then we will see." We will see and we will understand. So let's look at this passage. In this new heaven and this new earth, all things will be new. It will be a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation gives us a picture, a glimpse of what that's going to be like. There's going to be this new wonderful city that we live in. It's going to be our new home. And we're going to have a new and amazing relationship with our Father. A close relationship. Now, we can have a close relationship with him now, but we'll actually be there. Now it's a bit like these Zoom calls that we have and FaceTimes, isn't it? Can go a bit wonky and go a bit wrong sometimes. But there's nothing like being face to face. That's why we all hope that we'll be able to go back to church in a much more normal way soon. That we can see each other face to face, that we can chat, that we can have a coffee, we can have a laugh, we can sing out loud, and we can be church and fellowship together in a way that we haven't been able to be for about 18 months or so. But we're going to have that sort of relationship when we get to heaven. Face to face, before and with our God and our Heavenly Father. I am personally convinced that that is true because everything that Jesus has told me about him, I have discovered to be true. And when he talked in John 14 about a home for us, a place prepared for us, and I'm going there and I will take you to that place and you will be with me forever, I've got to believe him because all the other things I know about him have been true. So there's going to be this amazingly new relationship with God. The next thing I want to tell you is that the old has gone. That's what this passage has said. So what will go? Death will go. There'll be no death any longer. When we get to that heavenly home, there is no death. And often accompanying death is grief. And there'll be no more grief. No more separation. Now, sadly, Jean Waddell, a faithful member of this congregation, died just yesterday. And for Jean and Lynn and Paul and the family, this is a sad time. There's grief in that. There is this loss of relationship. Death seems to bring an end to some degree. And we don't like that. But in heaven, that's not going to happen because there is no death. There is no crying in this place. Now, some of us cry because our favorite football team lost the cup final. And that causes huge heartbreak. But that's nothing, really. Many of us cry because we are in pain. And in heaven, there is no pain. Now that I've retired, it seems really strange that aches and pains that hadn't bothered me 6 months ago seem now to be creeping up on me in a way that I hadn't really experienced before. And an old rugby injury on my knee has been sort of bothering me. So there's a wee bit of pain and a twinge in that. But, you know, people do suffer pain greatly in this life, don't they? You know, people are waiting for operations in this pandemic, waiting for knee surgery, for hip replacements, or whatever. And usually they're in huge pain. And one of the awful ironies of having a bad hip is that if you don't get it seen too soon, you put more pressure on the other hip, and then it becomes bad also, so you need two hip operations instead of one. People who live in constant pain. And there is a pain sometimes in our heart through separation and loneliness that can't be healed or doesn't appear for many people to be healed. But all these old things are gone. My own mother suffered dementia for a long, long time. Got to the position where she didn't know any of us at all. And although I was saddened when she died, I was also, in a very strange way, joyful. Because all the confusion was now over. All the pain was gone. She was in her right mind again. She was with her Lord and Savior. And all these former things were gone. And to know that, and to see that, and to be there when people who haven't been able to dance for a long time are dancing with joy before the Lord, it's just amazing to think about. The old has gone. But there is a sting in the tail. It's going to not be there for everyone. The sting in the tail of this short passage is that there is a hell. And hell is a real place. It's always pictured as in this picture of Revelation, as a place of sulfur and of heat, intense heat. But really, what is hell? And the simplest way I think I can describe it is hell is the absence of God. To be where God isn't is going to be absolutely and utterly awful. And if you think that hell is not an actual reality, then if you look at the Gospels, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. He came that we might not go to that place. He came and gave his life that we would escape that fate and that end. And for those who say that, oh, God won't allow that to happen to anybody, we'll all get there in the end. Then if that's true, then why did he let his own son go through such pain and such agony upon the cross? Why did he leave him to that? Why did Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he was the only person who ever lived that was absolutely and completely at one with his Father. Why did his Father allow his son to go through all that if in the end he would just turn around and say, oh, it doesn't matter what you did. That's okay. Come on in. But through Jesus Christ, his death and suffering upon the cross bought us the right to be in heaven. Gave us the opportunity through trusting in him to claim all these wonderful promises that we've been looking at this morning. Hell is a place where God isn't. And it's also going to be a place of eternal regret. Remember, if the atheist is right, I won't know I've been wrong. But if I'm right, he's going to have eternal regret. And my prayer is that for him, that young man who came in, and for others who think the same, that maybe their eyes would be opened. And they would begin to see the truth in Jesus Christ. So, there is no sea in heaven. No S-E-A-C in heaven. But we will see everything. We will see our God. We will spend our lives in worship and praise of Him. And it won't be dull. And it won't be repetitive. It will be completely and utterly inexpressible in its joy. The old wonky knee will have gone, thankfully. The pain and the grief, the sorrow and the regret will be no more. All these former things will have passed away. Are you up for it? Maybe you can't wait to be there. Well, we'll be there when God calls us there. But be sure of this. Death holds no sting for those who are in Christ. And the grave, no victory. Paul said that. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we like to be beside the sea. Even sitting somewhere like Helen's Bay or the White Rocks, Port Stewart, Benoon Strand. To sit there and to just marvel at the beauty. To be reminded of your creation is wonderful. To live a life of faith in Jesus Christ and to trust in his promises here is just a truly amazing way to live. But that will all pale into insignificance when we get to our heavenly home. The former things will have passed away. We will be in your presence. We will be home with our Father and our Savior and Lord. And we will worship you in the power of the Spirit. Father, we pray for those who do not know that truth today. We trust that you would open their eyes. I think of my young friend who came to our community lunch claiming that he did not believe there was a God. We pray that you would open his eyes. Pray for my Muslim friend so impressed by the little Christian community that was under such pressure in Pakistan that their example started to challenge his whole way of thinking. And Father, we pray that that word, that Bible that he received will be the means by which you speak into his heart. Already I knew that you were doing something amazing in his life. Father, we talk of hell not to scare people. But if Jesus talked about it, then we must understand that it is somewhere that we wouldn't want anyone to be. Because you won't be there. It'll be a place of eternal regret. And living with regret is awful. We know that. Because we all know and have experienced regret. But never to get rid of it. That is truly terrible. So, Father, as your people, we continue to pray for those within our families and within our community that are far away from you. We just pray that your blessing would be with them and that you would open their eyes to your truth. We ask all this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In our prayers for others today, we will indeed remember the family of Jean Waddell, for Jane and Lynn and Paul, their families, and the whole wider family circle and the church family. We offer our prayers and our sympathy today. So let us come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We come because he has told us that we should. And we should be praying. There were times when Jesus went alone to pray. And I'm sure as he was there, he just prayed for the people who came for help each and every day. He prayed over the people of Jerusalem, and he prayed about the fate of that city, for he knew that it would be destroyed unless it changed its ways, and indeed it was, and many lives were lost. He wept over that city. He wept with those who mourned, as with Mary and Martha, over their brother Lazarus. And he mourns today with Jane and Lynn and Paul, as they remember their mother, who sadly, her life ended yesterday morning. We pray, O God, for them at this time as they make the arrangements, as they remember her and the influence that she had upon their lives. Grant them your blessing and your peace, and the hope that is ours through Christ our Lord. Father, we pray for Catherine and her family as they return from holiday. We pray that they have had a good break and a good time away, that their batteries have been recharged, and that you would be with them as they return, and particularly with Catherine, she takes up the duties here in Malone. We ask your blessing upon her. We ask that the Holy Spirit will indeed inspire her and guide her as she leads this congregation with the Kirk Session in the challenging months that lie before us. Father, we come before you at a time when conflicting things seem to be happening. Relaxations are beginning to happen with all the social distancing and so on. And church will be able, from the beginning of September, to cut the spacing down to 1 meter instead of two, if they so desire. But yet yesterday, 8 people lost their lives through COVID, and still well over 1,000 people were being infected. Father, in these conflicting and challenging times, we pray for your protection upon the people of our province and of our nation and of the world. We ask, Father, that you would be with those who are developing the vaccines, who are in control of government policies, and who have got difficult and challenging decisions to make. We pray that we, the citizens of this country, will behave responsibly and that we will act wisely in all our interactions. But we long to see things so much more like what they were than what they are. And so, Father, we do pray that as we begin to see these relaxations happening, that we would be wise and at the same time encouraging us to come to join together again in worship, physically together, and to begin to do those things that you have called us to do. Father, we do pray for your persecuted church in the world. And as I've been talking about my friend Muhammad, who lived in Lahore in Pakistan, I pray for him, but I also pray for that little beleaguered community of faith that still shone the light for Jesus, though they were harassed and beaten and indeed burnt out of their little church. We pray your blessing upon them as they rebuilt that little church and they continued to serve the community, some of which had been responsible for all of these things. We thank you for the influence that had on Muhammad. And we pray that his work, that your word would indeed continue to work in his heart and in his life. Almighty God, we who live in a place where we are relatively free to worship have no understanding of what that must be like. May we support them in our prayers. Be with those who are in hospital at this time. Be with those who are awaiting operations. We pray for those cancer patients whose operations were postponed because of the shortage of staff and of the impact of COVID. We pray for the people who have to make such terrible decisions and the effect it must have upon their lives and upon their spirit. Father, this morning we have been thinking about Revelation and that wonderful glimpse of our heavenly home. Father, we pray that you would give us freedom then to live our lives here without fear of the future. Our future is safe and secure in Christ. Therefore, let us be bold, let us be joyful, let us stand up, be counted for Jesus in these days, without fear, without favor. Let us leave this place of worship today, determined that whatever this week lies has for us as it lies before us, that we will face it with hope, with joy, with expectation, and with peace. And may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ reign in our hearts this day and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.